Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to the Stokers of Beer Radio. So I am your host, Romero Foran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers of Beer Radio Show. Stokers of Beer Radio Show is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport that he or she loves the most. Stokers of Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 8:18 a.m., and it is 55 degrees Fahrenheit and mostly sunny in San Diego, California. To call in and debate the host or to correct the host about on any errors that he may make, you can call in to 515-602-9687. That's 515-602-9687. And put your hand in queue so I can come to you and we can talk. Or you can just call in and just listen. But anyway, with that being said, today's topic is NFL Week 11 and Monday Night Football Recap. The hosts will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered to include but not limited to would be Monday Night Football, Niners versus Cardinals played in Mexico City. The hosts will cover actions from NBA, NCAA sports, and NHL scores. All right. Again, our topic for today is NFL Week 11 and Monday Night Football Recap. I want to just say thank you to everybody that was tuning in, waiting to hear me globally, or going to go back and listen to this episode if there's any delays or any errors. The website that I use is having some technical difficulties at their headquarters, that where I buy airtime from. They're having some technical difficulties, and I think that's what happened yesterday in the show at, I believe, the 47-minute mark of the first hour to the 55-minute mark of the first hour. We was having some audio problems, so I'm still experiencing that today. So I won't be going to any music today because they're having some audio issues from what I can see. And plus, I couldn't log in on time this morning because the engineers were still working on the still trying to work on the website. And, of course, all of you know I use Blog Talk Radio, so it's not a me thing. It's not a Stogies and Beer thing. But, however, it is a Blog Talk Radio headquarters thing, and that's who I gives me space. It gives me airspace to do my show. So, again, I apologize for any delays, any errors that may occur during this show. Hopefully we can keep the show on air. At least we're on air right now. We're about 18 minutes late, but we're on air. Anyway, let's get off into our topic. For those of you just tuning in again, this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, and I'm your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. And last night, Monday Night Football, the 49ers basically plucked the wings off the Cardinals. The Niners plucked the wings off the Cardinals, literally. I mean, the Cardinals, you know, they came out strong. They looked strong. Defensively, I think they played tough the whole game, but it's only so much you can do against the San Francisco 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo when Garoppolo was playing is kind of on point that day. You know, you got to understand Jimmy Garoppolo, he is a Super Bowl quarterback. He has been to the Super Bowl. And he lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, if I'm remembering correct. If that's incorrect, please call into the show and correct me or debate me on it. But, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo, he was on point last night, people. He was on point. So I'm going to just leave that at that. But they thumped the Arizona Cardinals last night. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals are already a man down with Kyler Murray being out. You know, you just have to have Kyler Murray in a game like that. You know, Colt McCoy, kudos to him. He came in. He tried to fight him. He tried to fight. He stood and he took a lot of hard shots. I don't know why the offensive line couldn't protect him. But it kind of like alludes to the fact that maybe that's why Kyler Murray runs around so much. I think Kyler Murray runs around so much because of the fact that he probably could take a lot of shots, because the shots that were taken last night by Colt McCoy, some of those shots were unnecessary. Some of those shots were almost unfair. So, I mean, the only thing I can say is that I don't blame Kyler Murray at this point for running around all the time, you know, trying to avoid getting hit. It's probably not the fact that he can't read defense. It's probably the fact that the offensive line can't protect him. So that's something that we got to consider. That's something we got to consider from now on. Excuse me, everybody. I'm having a little bit of not technical difficulty, but I'm doing two things at one time because I'm my only person running this show. I have to do multitasking, and if you hear any noise in the background, give me 1 second, and I'll have that noise secured. Noise is secured. Sorry about that. But the Late Night Dog had to get him some coffee. So since I don't have any assistants in the studio, I don't have a news desk person to make my coffee or any assistants in the studio. I need me a runner in the studio to go and make my coffee for me. But unfortunately, I don't have one at this time, so I have to make my own coffee. So sorry about the water running. But anyway, I know you understand about having to get your coffee in the morning. The Late Night Dog needs to energize because I actually woke up a little bit late this morning. I was actually, if I could have got on air, I'd have been about a minute late. So I got to write myself up because I was actually about a minute or two late getting on air. And I had prepared my show and everything for today already. All I had to do was get up and you know, turn my monitor on and go to work. But the Late Night Dog overslept about 10 minutes. I overslept for about 17 minutes. I was almost 20 minutes oversleeping this morning. So forgive me for that. I like to run the show on time every day. To run the show on time every day, all day, to give you guys a good quality product. This is not recreation for me. This is my job. This is a job. So with that being said, going back to Monday Night Football action, again, I apologize for the noise in the background about me making my coffee, but I got to get my coffee. But back to the game last night. The Cardinals, they plucked. I'm sorry, the Cardinals got their wings plucked by the Niners. The Niners plucked the Cardinals' wings last night in pretty much a rout in Mexico City. I mean, the Cardinals' defense, Buda Baker and those guys, they really tried to stand up. They tried to fight the offense of the 49ers. But, you know, I've seen Buda Baker and I've seen his emotion in the locker room on HBO in season Hard Knocks. I've seen his emotion on an episode, and I'm looking forward to seeing a couple more of those episodes. I haven't been able to keep up with them like I want to, but they usually play them every – we play them throughout the week. Today is Tuesday, so they should have the replays and a fresh one going on. But this is the thing. Buda Baker, even with all his emotion trying to hype his team up, you know, defense can do their job. And I think their defense did everything that they could. They bent as long as they could. Then they eventually broke. You got Christian McCaffrey. They just got weapons. They got Christian McCaffrey going to the 49ers does not help the cause of the Arizona Cardinals defense. It's just one more weapon to account for. Then they got a cup. This other guy, can't pronounce his name. It starts with an I. He has like a African descent last name, and he was catching a lot of balls. A little slot receiver. I forgot his name. I can't say his name. But you know who I'm talking about. If you watch the game, you know who I'm talking about. He was going off last night. McCaffrey was doing his thing last night. Kittles was doing his thing last night. I mean, it was. And then the home crowd in Mexico City. I thought they used to be Raiders. I mean, it just depends on who comes to town. I think they just like Bay Area teams. When the Raiders come to town, they're all about the Raiders. When the 49ers come to town, I guess now they're all about the 49ers. But that's just the way it is. You know, those teams, I guess they kind of like latch on to the toughest team or the most popular team when they come up. But it was a 49ers crowd last night, 110,000, something like that, 100-some thousand people in Mexico City at the Azteca Stadium. It was a wild atmosphere. I mean, it was a wild atmosphere, concert and everything, wild atmosphere. I mean, it was just crazy. I mean, but, you know, like I said, Buda Baker and that Cardinals defense, they stood, they bent, but then they eventually broke because the defense can't win the game in most cases alone. You got to have offense. Now, if you got a superior defense, like, you know, back in the day with Ray Lewis with the Baltimore Ravens, if you got a defense like that, you probably can pretty much win on defense alone. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, you know, in a game like last night when you got a good solid defense, or the defense is playing like a good solid defense like last night, if the offense can't generate points and match the other team point for point, they're not going to win. Jimmy Garoppolo, every time he went out there, their offense looked good for the most part every time he went out there, for the most part. But then when you put your offense out there, when the Cardinals' offense came out, they didn't look good. The offense of the 49ers looked great. They was pumping on all cylinders. But the Arizona Cardinals' offense, with Colt McCoy back there, they just couldn't get much done. They didn't have any consistency. McCoy, he's the type of guy that looks like he'll throw a good ball, a couple good balls, then you get a bad ball. A couple good balls, then you get a detrimental ball. So it's just like, you know, and then he was taking a beating too. That's the other thing. He was taking a beating. I mean, I give him credit because he stood in there. He done his job as a backup, trying to keep him in the game, trying to at least keep the game respectable. And at some points, it seemed like, you know, he could possibly hang with him and maybe even try, maybe even have a good chance of winning the game. But he took a beating last night. The offensive line play for the Cardinals was terrible. That guy kept getting hit. Colt McCoy kept getting hit, kept getting hit, kept getting hit. Then eventually, I guess at the last part of the fourth quarter, they brought in Chase McSorley, that's who it was that they brought in, and let him finish the game off. But, I mean, by that time, you know, they were just letting him get some stats and trying to keep the one quarterback that they have healthy. I don't know when Kyler Murray is due to come back, but that answered a lot of questions for me and probably a lot of questions for some other people that when it comes down to it, that's the reason why Kyler Murray probably runs around so much. If Kyler Murray took a beating last night that Colt McCoy took, he could be out for a while. He could be out for a while. You know, he's already hurt, so I'm glad they didn't let Kyler Murray play. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm glad they didn't let Kyler Murray play last night because if he had played in the way the defense for the 49ers is playing, the Cardinals offense, there might have been another injury for Kyler Murray. But then again, Kyler Murray wouldn't have took that beating because Kyler Murray knows how to take off. Colt McCoy is not fast like Kyler Murray. I've seen him try to take off one time, and I'm like, you know, the doggone linebackers just hunt him down. You know, take him down. Linebackers, defensive end, whichever one, they just take him down. He ain't fast enough to get away from that defense. Now, if that had been on Kyler Murray would have been looking like the Matrix out there, scrambling, making a miss, and then taking off, probably getting the first down or scoring. So it was a whole different ball game with Colt McCoy throwing the ball versus Kyler Murray being back there running the ball and throwing the ball when he can. The thing that got me too was that I did see Colt McCoy having a good connection with DeAndre Hopkins. They did have a connection last night. Colt McCoy was getting that ball to DeAndre Hopkins. He was getting the ball to him. Unlike Kyler Murray's knock is he doesn't know how to read defense. He just takes off. So I seen on Hard Knocks on the sideline, they were kind of like, you know, talking to each other like DeAndre Hopkins was asking Kyler Murray, well, what are you seeing? What are you seeing over there? You didn't see me wide open. What are you reading? And then so they kind of like were at odds with each other like that. Like pretty much almost like DeAndre Hopkins is like, give me the damn ball. Like Keyshawn Johnson used to be back in the day. Just give me the damn ball. You know, you don't have to worry about reading no defense. Just look for me. Just get me the ball. Look off the defender. Look him off, and then just get me the damn ball. I'm going to be in space. And last night, seems like to me that's pretty much what Colt McCoy looked like to me last night. That's what Colt McCoy decided that he wanted to do, was just basically try to look off the defender as much as he could and get that ball to DeAndre Hopkins. He did move the ball around to a couple of other guys, but it was pretty much – the DeAndre Hopkins show last night. And then, you know, they tried to run Connor. You know, they tried to run Connor, the running back, but, you know, the defense wasn't really letting James Connor do too much. If I'm correct, I believe that was James Connor. I hope I got his first name right. But I believe he used to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was in a relief role and then wound up winning the starting job at Pittsburgh after Le'Veon Bell decided he didn't want to play for Pittsburgh anymore. But, I believe that was James Conner last night, number 6, running back for the Cardinals. He was getting bottled up all night. He really couldn't break loose. He just couldn't break loose. And then, but he did get in the end zone on the goal line stand. If I'm remembering right, he did get in the end zone on the goal line stand. But it was just pretty much last night, if I'm remembering the score correctly, pretty much a rout. If it wasn't a rout, it felt like a rout because I believe that they put up 38 points. I think like 38 to 10. So I think believe like 38 to 10. I think they had a field goal, and then James Conner scored on the goal line. So I believe like 38-10 at the end of the night. Could have possibly been 38-17, but you know, for whatever reason, that they wasn't letting Colt McCoy beat them last night. They weren't letting the Cardinals beat them. Their defense for the 49ers was stout. Their defense for the 49ers was stout. I'm gonna put it like that. So last night, again, the 49ers plucked the Cardinals' wings. If you'd like to call in to the show, you can call in to 515-602-9687, the banter about the sports you love. Again, call in to the show is 515-602-9687 to call in and banter about the sport that you love. With some global football news, we have in Uganda, I have a call to action for American football in Uganda. Some good friends of mine that I met online, and I've done some Zoom calls with them and some radio interviews and whatnot. My good friend, the commissioner for the African Federation of American Football over in Uganda, he's going to be doing. He's trying to put together the zone series, in Africa, and I thought they were going to be doing that. I thought it was going to be 2 weeks ago, but I think they pushed it back, and they're going to do it this weekend, this Sunday, I believe. I just got to get some more information on it. But, you know, I don't think they was able to do it 2 weeks ago, but on the so it's been on November the 13th, but I think they're going to be doing it on the 27th of this month. But we'll see. I have to get them on the show or get another Zoom call to find out what's going on with it and why it didn't take place. But the call of action is, and I want to just take some time to say this so I can timestamp it at the 8:37 mark. The call to action for the Uganda Zone Series and American football in Ugandan schools. I want to help them get flag football in the elementary school, in the middle school, and then have high school padded football. Where the guys can learn how to tackle properly using the helmets and all the equipment and everything like that. They learn about concussion protocol and all this different stuff using the equipment over there. So basically, I need some volunteers to help start up a grassroots program over in Uganda. They want football over there. Football can change lives. Football can be an economic, major economic impact for that region. If we can get some of these players to be able to come to college over here, learn how to play ball over there, get scouted and come to college over here and make their way into the NFL, that would be a great thing. There's a lot of great athletes over there, but they just don't have an opportunity. Yeah, they know about soccer. They know about rugby, but they want to play American football. They know what American football can do. American football is like now becoming a global sport like basketball or soccer. And these kids, they want to put the pads on. They want to put the helmet on. They want to play. The little kids, being the fact that they're growing flag football globally, they want to learn how to play flag football and everything like that and then move on up. So I need some volunteers. I've been trying to get volunteers from the NAIA schools because the NAIA schools are mostly religious based, and a lot of those schools have people that want to spread the gospel through missionary work, and some of these people that spread the gospel through missionary work are former athletes from these schools. So I'm trying to get in, you know, coaches and players at the NAIA school level that we're planning on going over to Africa anyway and spreading the gospel. But if you're an athlete that played football and you're a missionary, I'm trying to reach out to you first to see if you can go over there and stay a while and teach and implement the sport in the schools, and also help the efforts, you know, at the semi-pro level for the African Zone Series. So I'm just trying to, you know, put out a word, a call to action, to think about this. You know, What if you were in a country? What if we were in a country that we couldn't walk outside and just play the sport that we like to play, or the sport that we're interested in? You couldn't go out and just play because there's probably no field for you to play at. No decent field. There are no reputable coaches at a high level to teach you the game. There's no money to buy footballs. There's no money to buy equipment. There's no money to buy cleats. There's no money to buy the certain things that you need to play flag football. There's no money to buy the pads and helmets and cleats and all the other pads for your tards and stuff like that. There's no money to buy all this stuff. So all I'm saying is that put yourself in their shoes. They want to play. They want to compete. They want to learn, but there's the avenues for them to do it is kind of closed unless they get a visa some kind of way and then come over here and learn how to play. And then the thing that's so fearful with that, in my opinion, is that you know how people will leave and get a leg up. You have to basically be willing to come back and share your wealth. And hopefully all those guys in Uganda, if they did get an opportunity like that, to learn the sport, come over here and play, make a lot of money in the NFL, take it back to their home country, and share their wealth to build infrastructure for their home country. That would be great. It's a whole lot of African descended players, or players of descent in the NFL, right? Because you know one of the guys that plays for the 49ers. Somebody in his family, 9 times out of 10, is from the continent of Africa because of his name. It's a whole lot of players that's of African descent in the National Football League. But how many of them are going back to their country of origin and building infrastructure rather than just keeping their wealth in the United States? Where it's really not needed. I mean, it's needed for you in your individual family, but it's also needed to go back and help build infrastructure and build government in their home country. But, you know, I'm gonna get off my soapbox, but that's my call to action. I need players and coaches from the NAIA level, schools, College Athletic Association, that's the NCCAA. I'm hitting them up for colleges that's under that banner in that conference, you know, and a lot of them are NAIA schools as well. I'm just trying to get you guys to say, hey, I'm willing to go over there and donate my time, donate my own investment into my ticket to get there and things of that nature. And my you know, and maybe they can help with a hotel room or whatever, or living accommodations if you're talking about being over there, let's say, at least 30 days at a time. But it's a lot of things that we got to get worked out. I guess the next thing I'll be doing is maybe trying to hit the Catholic churches, you know, because I know that they're over there a lot, doing a lot of things. Maybe I can hit the Catholic churches up to try to work with me to get some of these to work with me in some of these school programs to get guys over there to help build this grassroots American football program. So Stephen O'King, if you ever listen to this replay starting at the 37 minute mark, if you ever listen to this at the 37 minute mark of this episode, hour one, I have not forgot about you guys. I have not forgot about you guys. I've been doing this call to action, you know, every few episodes, trying to get volunteers to go over there and learn. Plus, I'm going to be doing some stuff with some of the NFL players that has charities that also can donate, because the little bit of money that Steven is asking for, everybody that's listening to this show, is like anywhere from $3,000 to $7,500, $3,000 to $7,500. And the average NFL player can just write a check for that. That's chump change. can just write a check for that and charge it off into their charity. So I'm going to be hitting up some outlets that I got for to see how many NFL players we can get to pull together at least $7,000 to help. And it's a shame because one of them can do it. I'm talking about a player on a practice squad can probably write that check. That's the sad part about it. An NFL practice squad player can probably write at least $3,000 of the $7,500. So if I got two practice squad players or one active roster player that don't even have to be a star can write that check to help Stephen O. King get American football established in Uganda the right way. And it's Uganda, and I think he's trying to bring in Kenya, Zimbabwe, and I think it might have been Tanzania, if I'm remembering correct. If I'm incorrect, Stephen, forgive me, but just calling into the show and correct me. But anyway, that I'm just going over a little bit for those of you just tuning in to the show. This is the Stokes and the Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferrad, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking with you live in the early morning. Right now, we're talking about the African Zone Series over in Uganda that's supposed to take place, I believe, on Sunday the 27th. I believe they had to push it back 2 weeks because of lack of funding. And they only needed about $3,000, anywhere from $3,000 to $7,500 to put it on the right way. They want American football over there, everybody that's listening. So if you out there, you got a heart of philanthropy and charity, please reach out to me through my DM at Ferrand Sports on Twitter. That's at capital F Ferrand, capital Sports on Twitter. That's capital at Ferrand Sports, all together on Twitter. Just DM me and let me know that you're interested in taking part in this call to action to help a grassroots program of developing American football in Uganda. And if you can help put it in Uganda, from Uganda, you can spread out around the other countries right there in that region, in that zone. So that's a little bit about the African Zone Series. We just need some help with some donors to help put together their semi-pro football team. You know, they have had some training. I think U22 or one of those organizations go over there. They've been going over there every year, a couple weeks out of the year to teach the sport and to train the coaches, but it has to be a level of consistency. Everybody know football is something that is a lifestyle. It's not just a sport. It's a lifestyle. You know, all major sports are like a lifestyle. So it's like, you know, we need somebody over there to implement the lifestyle of being a professional football player in Uganda. But, again, if you would like to help, give me a call for more information. You can call in to the show, or you can just direct message me on Twitter at Ferrand Sports. So, with that being said, you know, we are having a lot of technical difficulties on the show. You usually would like to take a station break right now. I'm going to try to take one, but let me see how the music is working right now. If I can hear it through my phone, I can take a quick station break, and then I'll be back. But if I see any technical difficulties with the audio like yesterday, I'm just going to stop the music and come back online. So stand by.
We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Romero Fran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Sorry about that, people. I had my mic on mute while I was talking about my topic there. Anyway, I apologize. I forgot to hit mute on my mic so you could hear me. So sorry about that audio delay, technical difficulty, not on the website. There was technical difficulty on the host. But anyway, last night, what I was saying was, for those of you that tuned in last night, the 49ers plucked the wings of the Arizona Cardinals. And Colt McCoy last night, was doing a better job at looking off the defender and finding DeAndre Hopkins in open space. He was doing a better job to me versus Kyler Murray. However, Colt McCoy doesn't have the feet of Kyler Murray to get away from the defenders. At the same time, make a long story short, I'm starting to see why Kyler Murray is using his feet so much. Probably the same reason why Justin Fields is using his feet so much. Probably the same reason why Russell Wilson was using his feet so much in Seattle and not reading off the wristband. Why? Because the offensive line play sucks for a lot of these teams. It's inconsistent. And what I do want to say is that I couldn't imagine being at the quarterback position back there, and you got an offensive line that's basically giving a guy a free run, a free crack at me. I don't like that type of stuff. So last night, Colt McCoy got beat up. He got beat up real bad. So, you know, again, 38-10 route, 49ers pluck the Arizona Cardinals wings in Mexico City at Azteca Stadium in front of over 100,000 fans. And it was like a home game for the 49ers because everybody out there pretty much 90% was for the 49ers. It was like a home crowd for the 49ers. World Cup action, FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 will be coming up soon here today. USA began the 11th World Cup appearance with a 1-1 draw against Wales. Will the USA be able to make it out of the group stage in Qatar? The USA began the 11th World Cup appearance with a 1-1 draw against Wales. Will USA be able to make it out of the group stage in Qatar? We'll have to see. I'm going to try to – we got Uruguay against South Korea in World Cup action. Uruguay against South Korea, I think, earlier. Saudi Arabia upset Argentina. The Argentine team got upset by Saudi Arabia in World Cup action. I was able to catch some of the World Cup action yesterday with the U.S. I was watching it when they scored the first goal, but we still came up with a draw in group play. Portugal against Ghana. Good luck, Ghana. Portugal against Ghana. I know one of my good buddies, he's from Ghana. He'll be watching that one. Portugal against Ghana. That should be a good one. World Cup Group B. Trying to get some information on Group B. It's all group play right now. But as I keep getting, I think they got Brazil set to win Group B, I believe. I guess that's what they're saying across the monitor. Brazil set to win Group B. But that's a lot of information. There's so many teams. I don't want to confuse you getting the wrong information, so I'm going to just stick to matchups and scores. Because I don't want to get anybody I know how people are about this World Cup. You know, this is a global sport. Football is a global sport. I'm talking about global football, not American football. Global football is what we call in America soccer, is a global sport. So I don't want to put the wrong information out there. But if you want to call in and comment about World Cup play, feel free to call in at area code 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now in World Cup. Very exciting time. Very exciting time of the year for that. I think they had to change the time that they usually do it, the time period, seasonal period, but where they usually do World Cup. Oh, we got USA against England. USA and England Friday, 1 p.m. USA, England tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. USA and England, they're going to go at it tomorrow. But back to what I was saying, I think they had to change the normal time for the World Cup because it's so hot in Qatar during the time that they would normally do it. So I guess this might be Qatar's cooler season, their winter or their fall. So I think that's why they're playing, you know, this time of year during Thanksgiving holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas time, because it's so hot in Qatar. The thing that I'm cracking up about is that you can't get a beer in the stadium over there in the worldwide. It's about $75 million on advertising and everything in the stadium. Probably, you know, they're probably doing their signage in that stadium over there, you know, the Budweiser signage and all that stuff, advertising the beer. And they can only buy the beer in their hotel or the hotel rooms. Qatar's not allowing them to drink it in a large public space like a stadium. They're not allowing it, but it was supposed to be agreed upon. So I'm going to look into more and see what the fallout is going to be about that type of thing. That's like the fallout on something like that can be detrimental. It's a $75 million investment stake. So I'm just trying to figure out how Budweiser is going to get their money back, or if they're even going to try to get it back. Who knows? Maybe they can buy it back in oil. Maybe they can pay it back to Budweiser in oil barrels. But we'll see. Qatar, small Muslim country, they're not allowing beer to be sold in the stadium. So maybe you just got to get you something else to eat and a cold soda. You know, get you a cold soda and whatever else they have out there for snacks, you know, in the stadium. So, you know, we have to remember when we go to these other countries, the host country has their own traditions, their own customs, own religions, their own politics. So when you go to these host countries, you got to make sure that everything is agreed upon, you know, pretty much the right way, because if they can change it at the last minute, you might be out of some money. But, you know, at the same time, I don't know if that deal was actually, that's just hearsay, that they had a agreement, $75 million investment stake in advertisement and signage and promotions and everything in that stadium. But, you know, more to come on that. I'm going to do some more investigating on that. But that's news from World Cup. And, again, the USA begins the 11th World Cup appearance with a 1-1 draw against Wales. Will the U.S. be able to make it out of the group stage in Qatar? And, of course, tomorrow, USA versus England. I think that's going to be a tough one from what I'm hearing. I think they're saying that England pretty much is a good team, and they can possibly defeat the USA in World Cup play. But we'll see. So that's on World Cup. And in NBA action, they're saying that Ben Simmons has made a resurgence. He's got 18-10-10. 18-10-10. So that's pretty good. I felt like, you know, once Ben, you know, came out of his shell and stopped listening to the naysayers and his team put his arms, the team put their arms around him, he was going to be all right. It's funny that the couple games I've seen Ben Simmons playing, I thought he actually played pretty well. I think after like the first two games, I think he started playing pretty well. So I really haven't been totally disappointed with his play, because again, when I saw him at least, because he was defending, rebounding, he wasn't scoring much, but he was defending, rebounding, dishing the ball. I mean, he is a presence. He's a presence. So I mean, but you know, he's 18-10-10 now. Looked like he's I saw him on one of the interviews. I didn't hear it on the monitor, but I was looking at it. It looked like he was kind of laughing, giggling about something that somebody said. So it looked like he's in good spirits. If he's nothing else, looks like he's in good spirits and feeling good about Ben Simmons again. But I'm not in Ben Simmons' head, so I can't confirm nor deny that. But look, based on what I saw, he looked like he was in good spirits at the podium. You know, you got a night 18-10-10. What can y'all say? He almost put up 20 points. So I mean, get off let the guy play. I mean, he's not a jump shooter. He's not a scorer. Like, he's not Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid can play inside, and he can also shoot the ball. He's just one of those generational talent. That's Joel Embiid, though. Why couldn't work with Embiid and Simmons together? I don't know. I don't know why they couldn't win the championship, but it obviously was working because they've been to the playoffs. They was in the playoffs together, you know. So it just comes down to You know, I guess it came down to the pressure of taking the big shot. You know, everybody don't want to be the leader. Everybody don't want to be the guy to say, hey, this is my team. That ain't, you know, everybody ain't Russell Westbrook. You know what? Hey, I demand the ball. I want the ball. This is my squad. I'm gonna take us to the promised land. I'm gonna win it for us. Everybody ain't that guy. Speaking of Russell Westbrook, he's coming off the bench, and I think the Lakers pulled off another win the other night. Matter of fact, they did pull off a win yesterday. I forgot who they beat, but they pulled off a win yesterday. And Russell Westbrook coming off the bench, I think he's like, what, 10 points? I think 10 points, 10 assists, somewhere up in there. I can't remember off the top of my head. 10 points, 10 assists. Correction on Ben Simmons, I think he's 18-10 and six rebounds. 18-10 and six. Russell Wilson, I think his numbers were the other night was 10 points coming off the bench. I forgot how many rebounds and how many assists. But, you know, Russell coming in, hounding the ball and putting up 10 points and dishing the ball off to people, coming off the bench, 10 points coming off the bench, that ain't bad. You know, and I'm glad that he's coming off the bench so they can quit blaming him for losing the game. I'm sick of hearing that. But they still talking about, yeah, but he's still like a turnover machine, four turnovers. Well, you know, if you're the guy with the ball, dishing the ball, moving the ball, you know, if you just like in football, if you pass the ball, you get interceptions. If basketball is the same way. If you pass the ball, it's a possibility you might get intercepted. I mean, so, you know, turnovers happen when you're moving the ball. That's called defense. And in basketball, turnovers happen because it's easier in that little space to get a turnover versus in football. Football is hard to get a pick. I played football in high school, you know. And, you know, that ball flying around, you know, that ball, you see it, it's like in slow motion, and you just can't get to it because your brain is trying to process the movement of the ball. That's why when the ball get fumbled, you know, you be like, why he just won't fall on it? Because your brain don't work that fast. Your brain see it, but it got to process what it's seeing, in my opinion. That's the way it was for me. I see the ball fumbled. I see the ball flying over my head, you know, and, you know, might have got popped, you know, batted in the air, and you see it flying over your head, and you know I need to grab it for to get the fumble to make a turnover, but your brain is processing what it's seeing. Now, that could just be me. Somebody else could just see it and automatically react. You know, I guess it maybe just, you know, some of those guys I played with in high school had been playing since Pop Warner. I played a lot of, street football and, you know, playground football. But, you know, when I got to high school, to the high school level, ninth grade level, it was time to put on pads, and it was a learning process for me, just learning the feel of getting hit in pads because I had never wore pads before. I always just played, you know, tackle football in the park, and that was rough. Don't get me wrong. It prepared me for the play football with pads on. But some of those guys, like I said, they could react faster than I did because they played all their life. But anyway, I was just saying, basically, going back to Russell Westbrook and the turnover that they're complaining about, when you pass the ball can get picked off, whether you're playing football, basketball, whatever the case may be. You know, when you're moving that ball, it's a possibility it could get picked off. So I'm not upset about Russell Westbrook for the Lakers. I'm not concerned about him turning the ball over so much as him being out of the spotlight about it's his fault that the Lakers are in such bad shape that they're in. Also in Lakers news in the NBA, LeBron James is out with an abductor injury. I think the abductor injury is something in his stomach. You know, one of the quadrants in his stomach might have a strain. So if you got a abdominal strain, you know, it's kind of hard for it to be moving, running, cutting, doing all this different stuff from my understanding. So he's going to be out for a little bit. I think they just need to rest him up till right after the All-Star break. Rest him up till after the All-Star break. You know, you got AD, you got Russ, you know, you got all the other players, all these different players around AD. Let AD go ahead on and be the guy and let Russell come off the bench with his group. Or sometimes put him out there with AD, you know, because I believe that Russell and AD can play together. I believe Westbrook and AD can play together because you know, it's not, you don't have two ball dominant guys like LeBron and Westbrook. You know, both of them need the ball in their hand. They just a bigger or smaller version of each other, but they both play the same style of ball, bully ball, taking it to the hole. You can't have, obviously, you can't have two players like that. You know, you got to either put them on the court at different times, or one of them got to fall back and play without the ball. So I think that LeBron's a better shooter in that scenario. So I would say give the ball, let Russell move the ball, and hopefully he don't turn it over. But let Russ move the ball, and LeBron is a better shooter. He's a better shooter from the outside than Westbrook is currently, to be a better shooter from the outside, you know, when he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder. But anyway, other news, Ben Simmons playing against the 76ers for the first time since the trade. Traded to Brooklyn in February after four seasons with Philadelphia. Nets at the 76ers tonight, 7:30 Eastern. Again, Nets at the Sixers tonight, 7:30 Eastern. So I'll be tuning in to that one. That's a big one. I'll be tuning in to that one, Nets against the 76ers. Ben Simmons, 7.9 points a game, 59.2% field goals, 6.8 in rebounds per game. So I'm looking at the monitor. It looks like he's feeling pretty good. Looks like he's in good spirits. I think he's going to be all right. I think he's going to be all right when it's all said and done. So, yeah, you know, I'm just glad to see Ben Simmons is feeling better about himself, not letting the critics totally get in the way. But it looks like he's in better spirits, talking to the media, laughing, you know, look like he's having fun again. Even I can see on the monitor, even the experts, you know, talking about it, they're laughing and smiling. You know, it seems like everybody's happy to see Ben Simmons back and in good spirits, because he is a star in our game. He is a big three player. He is a big three type of player once you put him on the team, you know, around superstars. He is a big three. In NBA and NFL news, Robert Saleh says, we're keeping everything on the table or they're just ready to move off Zach Wilson. Bears at the Jets. Bears at the Jets Sunday, 1 Eastern, and they got the Jets -4.5. Bears at the Jets. Jets at -4.5 on Sunday. Robert Saleh, we're keeping everything on the table. Are they just ready to move off Zach Wilson? I think when you got a team that's won six games and you got at least another four to six games left to play, so I feel like at 11 games, you get definitely got, 18 games. You got seven more games to play. Put Joe Flacco in. Put Joe Flacco in. It's just that simple. Put Joe Flacco in. Why wouldn't you? They'd be crazy. Put Joe Flacco in. Let Joe Flacco right the ship all the way into the playoffs. And if Joe Flacco is still hot, keep him in. Once he gets cold, put in, rotate Zach Wilson in and out, see what he can do if you can get him hot, and still just keep momentum with Joe Flacco. After you go to a two-quarterback system, if Joe Flacco falls off, ride the hot hand through the playoffs. You know, and I would also develop my own third string quarterback. I saw getting him reps with the ones, get him ready, because you might have to go to a three quarterback system. Yeah, that's just the way I look at it. I'm like, you got three pro quarterbacks. You drafted these guys. You put them out there. Get everybody some reps with the ones starting now, because moving into the playoffs, you don't know who you got to go to. If Zach Wilson can't get it together, you got to go with somebody else. You got to go with someone else. Right now, the someone else is Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco has a Super Bowl with the Ravens. Joe Flacco actually has thrown more touchdowns this or since they both been on the same team. I think Flacco, since Zach Wilson joined the team, Flacco's been able to throw more touchdowns. So, I mean, you need a guy that can get the ball downfield, a guy that can score in the red zone. And, you know, you got to go with experience. You're paying Flacco something. I know you're paying Wilson, too, but I think Wilson is still on his rookie deal, if I'm remembering correct, because he hadn't been there but maybe a year or two, I think about 2 years. Excuse me. But he's still on his rookie deal. So he's not really getting paid right now anyway. So as far as I'm understanding, your rookie deal ain't that much. So he got his bonus money, his guaranteed money, but, you know, his weekly check. You know, he's probably not getting paid a whole lot on his weekly check. So I was go ahead and put in Flacco and see what Flacco got to do, what Flacco can do. And at best, you know, you can survive until you get to the playoffs and survive through the playoffs. Then if you want to get rid of Flacco, at least you got some film on him and put him up on the block, on the trade block, or he can go off in the free agency and go in and make him some money somewhere else for a struggling young team. But, yeah, it's time for them to move off of Zach Wilson. Plus, Zach Wilson, in my opinion, didn't take accountability. I really don't try to get on my show and dog, guys. That's not what my show is about, getting on here. I don't want to have one of these shows where every time you turn me on, I'm bashing these athletes. You know, these athletes, they're making millions of dollars. I'm not. So I wasn't at that level in athletics, you know. So it's like those guys are there. Those guys get paid to entertain us. You know, they go out there to put their body on the line. They get paid handsomely for to do it. They get paid handsomely for to do it. But I'm not going to get on here and bash them. I make my opinion. I state my bold opinion about it, but I don't want to bash guys. So I just say that Zach Wilson, the way his attitude was the other day at the podium, no, I don't feel like I let the defense down. And when it ticks off the defense and they're talking about it in the media saying something, I mean, how could you say, pretty much how could you say that you didn't let us down? We kept us in the game. We kept them down to only 3 points. The Patriots only scored 3 points the whole game up until the punt return. What are you talking about? You don't feel like you let us down. We did our job. You didn't convert. And this is a 6-win team. The Jets are an actual playoff team. Their defense is outstanding. You got Sauce Gardner. You got the other big defensive tackle from out of Alabama, if I'm correct. I forgot his name. Quentin something. Call in and correct me if I'm wrong, but y'all know who I'm talking about if you've been following the Jets. You know the big, I think his number is number 95 or something like that. The one that was, he was early in the year arguing with the coach on the sideline, cursing his position coach out. That's the guy I'm talking about. And I just don't want to mess his name up. I think it's Quentin something, though. But I believe he's out of Alabama. But that guy can play on defense. You got Sauce Gardner, lockdown corner. So, yeah, I mean, Jets are a 6-win team. They just need to change quarterbacks. Get Flacco in there, start taking the reps with the starters. You got to do that. Just like in Indiana with the Colts, Jeff Saturday came in. He put Matt Ryan back in. He put Matt Ryan back in at quarterback because he's like, you know what? I'm going with my vet. He's been to the Super Bowl. Sam Ellinger, out of Texas, if I'm correct, you know, he's like, I'm not playing him over Matt Ryan. I'm not playing him over Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan was up on top of the New England Patriots when Tom Brady was there in the Super Bowl. He was he basically was up like three scores going into halftime against the Patriots. So it's not like Matt Ryan don't know how to play, and I know him well. Because he played with the Atlanta Falcons in my division against the Saints, and he always gave us problems. He always was a problem. Because, number one, there was a rivalry game. Number two, Matt Ryan could play. Matty Ice, he could play. So I think that he's a big reason why the Colts are looking a little bit better. When the quarterback play gets a little bit better, the team looks a little bit better. It all starts with the quarterback. Well, first of all, it starts with the offensive line. Because the quarterback can't do nothing without the offensive line. And I think Jeff Saturday going in for the Colts, him being a former offensive lineman, if he's not a Hall of Fame offensive lineman, he's going to be one eventually. I think him going in, getting their technique right, getting in their head, letting people know if you can't do your job, we got to let you go home. It ain't personal, but we got to get people in here that can win. We're trying to win. In other NFL news, I saw a post saying Jameis Winston was complaining, saying that he's upset he lost his job. He's upset. He's saying, I lost my job, and the rule is that you're not supposed to lose your job to an injury. Well, that's, you know, you weren't playing well when you lost your job. You weren't playing to the level that they expected you to play at. And then you got, so if you weren't playing to the level that we expected you to play at and you get injured, then you come back. And Andy Dalton, he's probably not playing A+. He's probably not playing A+. But I'll say he's playing about B+. He's playing about B+, B-. B+, B-. Some weeks it's a B+, some weeks it's a B-. So, you know, then you got Alvin Kamara back as a weapon. He's getting the ball down to Olave. You know, defense has always been there. Defense ain't our problem. Defense might be our problem in certain instances, but it's not our problem overall. We had to get the quarterback position straightened out. And right now we got a win. So it's like we'll do a win, do a loss, then a win. We're like win, two losses, win. But we need to get two wins consecutively. If we can get two wins consecutively, then lose one, that'd be better, at least for our ego. But if we can get stringed together by three wins, like the Washington Commanders did at one point, get together by three wins, now I believe they're about 5 out of 6 wins. So they're back in contention in the NFC East, you know, which used to be the NFC East. But the NFC East is a very exciting division. The East is a very exciting division. So they're trying to see if the Cowboys right now are going to win that division. Can the Cowboys make a deep playoff run? Well, I think they can. With the way Michael Parsons is playing, they can make a deep playoff run. In NCAA action, we got this week some rivalry games, I believe, Ohio State at Michigan. That should be this week. We got Florida State and Florida. We got UCF and South Florida. We got the FCS playoffs are starting as well. The FCS playoff bracket is out. A lot of news there to where they're saying that Florida A&M University and Black College Football, Florida A&M Rattlers at 9-2 should have been invited to the FCS playoff to play to compete for a national championship when they only lost to number 18th ranked, I believe at the time, North Carolina, UNC. They lost to them. I think that was the first game of the year. And then they only lost, you know, in conference to Jackson State, which is 11-0 team, who definitely would have been in the playoffs if they chose to go that route. But they're going to go play for the Black College National Championship in the Celebration Bowl. You know, in Black College, you can either get a playoff bid or you can play for the Celebration Bowl. So technically, it should have been probably, I guess, Jackson State and Deion Sanders would have did Florida A&M a favor by going on and going into the playoffs and getting a playoff bid, taking the playoff bid, and then just letting Florida A&M play whoever in the Celebration Bowl, whoever wins in the MEAC, that should be North Carolina Central, if I'm correct, with that good quarterback they got. I forgot his name, but North Carolina Central should be playing Jackson State in the Celebration Bowl next month in Atlanta, Georgia. But I believe that if Deion Sanders would have went on to the playoffs, took Jackson State into the playoffs to show that some of those FCS schools, which there probably could beat a lot of them. They did win the game against, I think, Campbell out of the Big South Conference. I think he might have done Florida A&M a big favor by going on and, you know, going to the playoffs and then let Florida A&M and North Carolina Central play for the Black College National Championship. So, I don't work with these teams. I don't work as a commissioner for college football, so I can't really speak on it. I'm quite sure that the reason why those decisions don't get made has to do something with money, you know, TV revenue, stuff like that. So I know the Celebration Bowl is on television, but at the end of the day, you know, Florida A&M, they're not going to be in the FCS playoffs. I got to get some more news on the Division II FCS playoffs, Division III FCS playoffs, and NAIA school playoff picture. So, yeah, a lot good time this year I'm going to be continuing my recruiting and everything for my college kids. I currently have two programs for my sports management company, which is Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service in San Diego, California. I have two packages to where two management packages. I do athlete management. I could take the athletes that are in their or as far as in the NFL draft class 2022. I ain't gonna say you're NFL eligible, but I'm gonna break that down right now. If you're NFL draft class 2023, NFL draft class 2023, I have two packages I'm running. If you have a junior day, meaning that you got your measurements your junior year, you took your Wonder Link, probably ran a 40, maybe done your bench press. If you did those things and you have a draft grade going into your senior year, meaning that you are ranked at your position in the top 100, you should have a draft grade somewhere on the ESPN draft rankings or some of these ranking services. You should have a draft grade going into your senior year. So right now, if you contact me saying, hey, Mr. Ferran, I have a draft grade of such and such, and you can verify it on this link on ESPN. I like to say it's verified on ESPN. That's the source that I like to use. So if you got an ESPN draft ranking, I'll take your stuff and put it on two high-level agents' desks that I deal with. I'll take your stuff and get it to two high-level agents that represent stars if you got a draft ranking. Now, I don't know if they'll deal with you or not, depending on what your ranking is, but at least I can justify why I'm sending it. You got to have a verifiable draft ranking. If you don't have a verifiable draft ranking, then you're going to have to go another route. The other route is I can put you in line to get you a job with the Champions Indoor Football League team or Indoor Football League team leading you up to the XFL. I can also put you in line to get you an opportunity at Hub Camp, which is partnered with the United States Football League, and I also have another contact there, independent contact with the USFL, that I can also put your stuff on his table and get you an opportunity with the USFL. The cost for that service, because you don't have a draft ranking and you're going to have to take the necessary steps to get where you're trying to go, which your goal should be getting to the XFL. And again, the IFL is partnered with the XFL as their minor league system. I can get you to the CIFL and step you up to the IFL before their season is over with to get you an opportunity in the XFL. And then you never know, however that goes, I don't know how, you know, depending on your performance, you could get pulled up into the XFL depending on how it goes before their season is over, maybe get a look from some NFL teams, and you could still be in NFL camp by the time the NFL camp starts up, or at least get invited to a 3-day rookie mini camp or whatever and earn an opportunity to go to the full camp in the summertime for the NFL. So that's the way I can work. It's $600. I'll allow you to do $300 down, and then $300 due in 35 days. If you don't pay the other $300 in 35 days, no problem. You just got to start over. When you come back to me, start over from scratch. Thing with the B is just bring your whole $600 and be done with it, and then that way you're in business with me. And what I want to also tell college athletes and street free agents, when you come to me, the $600 is not just for me to attempt to find you a roster spot. Because sometimes I can't find you a roster spot depending on if all the spots are taken. Somebody may put you on the list to come in and work out if somebody goes down. Sometimes I can land you a spot. I'm pretty much 85% successful in that. I say 80 to 85. I'm a near more toward 85% success rate. I think that's pretty good. And then That's for finding you a job. 85% success rate in finding you a job on the team. So what I'm trying to say is that the $600 results vary depending on what you're bringing me. Sometimes you guys don't have enough film. Sometimes you guys only got JUCO film. Sometimes you only got high school film. Sometimes you don't have no film. Results vary based on what you're bringing to the table. So I have to use my relationships. And speaking of relationships, the point I'm trying to make, too, is that when you pay me the $600, you're paying to stay in a relationship with me. So every time I meet different people at different levels of the sport, I can always include you into the conversation. You're basically paying me as an insurance plan. So if you're paying somebody that you know is grinding and hustling, and you're in business with a person that's grinding and hustling, and you're staying in touch with this person that's grinding and hustling, he's going to always remember to bring your name up in the conversation to keep your name on his recruit, on his scouting list, so people can look at you, and as he moves forward, you move forward. You're paying me for the relationship, so it's not so much all the time about, well, I paid $600 and I ain't found my job yet. He ain't found me a roster spot yet. That's not the only reason why you're paying me. You're paying me basically for management and advisement, to be in business and conversation and talks with me at all times. You're paying me for me to be available to you at all times. So when I constantly move up myself, because I'm going to move up. That's why I do this, to move up. If I'm moving up, then you're moving up with me. So, I'm gonna timestamp this conversation. I think I'm gonna timestamp it at nine. I believe it's like nine. I'm gonna say at least 9:32. So I think I've been talking about this for like about 10 minutes. So I'm gonna go back and listen to the show and timestamp this, because you street free agents and you rookies, y'all need to understand. You're not just paying me $600. First of all, making it easy by letting you pay it in two installments. 300 down, 300 doing 35 days, that's 30 days with a 5-day grace period. If you don't pay it in 35 days, you have to start over from the beginning. And that's just to encourage you to pay your second installment, or come to the table with your whole 600 and be done with it. I also want to say spend your money wisely. You got a lot of bowl games out there, and I'm not knocking these bowl games. It used to be hard on bowl games. It used to be hard on them. I'm not going to lie. So it would make me upset that you guys would go and do two or three bowl games, X amount of $100 a WAP plus travel. And then when you come to me after the NFL draft is over and you realize that you're not going to NFL camp, not even going into the NFL camp as a free agent, you come to me and you don't have any money. You can't do business. So what I used to start doing was trying to tell people, hey, don't do those bowl games because it's not going to, you know, yield you any more than what I can yield you right now. But I quit saying that because, you know, the bowl games have their purpose and their reason. That's their business, and I just focus on what I'm doing. I don't focus on what other people do. I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore as I've grown in this business. Let that man or whoever in that organization make their money however they make their money in their business for whatever reason, and I'm going to make my money for whatever reason I make my money doing. I make my money by helping athletes. I make my money by moving athletes up to a right and moving them up to the next highest level, step by step by step by step by step. That's what I do. I help athletes try to fulfill their dreams as much as they can. And at the end of the day, even if your dream don't turn out the way you drew it out to be, I can get you to a point to where you can take everything that you've done and find some contentment in what you were able to accomplish, and to still keep moving forward in sports. It's more than one way to be a part of the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. It's more than one way to be a part of professional sports. If you want to be a part of a professional sports organization and make good money, there's more than one way to do it besides playing. So where I'm at, like I said, I have two programs that I do. If you are in NFL draft class 2023, if you're a draft eligible player, that means you have a verifiable draft ranking, top 100 in your position, and you can give me an ESPN link to show that you got a verifiable draft grade. I can take your film, resume, photos and put it on two high-level agencies' desk. I can do that. If you don't have a verifiable draft ranking, that means that you need to go into the prove-it system. I like to call my system the prove-it system, where you pay $300 to me down, $300 to me in 30 days with a five-day grace period. That means in 35 days, you need to have your other installment to me of $300, or you got to start all the way over. When you pay that, what that includes is, number one, a relationship with me. That you're paying for to have a relationship with Ramiro Ferran, president of Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service in San Diego, California. As I move up, you move up with me because I'm going to keep you in the conversation and keep you on my athlete list that I submit as I move up in the game. As I keep building relationships, you're part of the conversation. As I move up, you move up. And that's for $600. So now, I'm going to take your film and resume, send it out to different coaches in the Champions Indoor Football League, Fan Control Football League, Indoor Football League, all to try to move you up to a USFL or a XFL opportunity. Okay? I also send it to Hub Camp for a USFL opportunity, and I also have a direct contact inside the USFL to send your film to for a USFL opportunity. So the goal is to try to get you guys in the prove-it system that don't have a verifiable draft ranking to get you to the XFL or the USFL fast as I can. So by the time their season is over with, you probably can still get invited to an NFL camp depending on how you perform in the USFL or the XFL. If that don't happen on first crack, at least you'll have film to move you up to the Hub Camp for the USFL opportunity. IFL is partnered with the XFL. Hub Camp is partnered with the USFL. So the prove-it system is going to take you through a series of steps to get you as close as we can to the XFL and USFL on the first crack. If that don't work, you know, we'll at least have you partnered with in the system that's partnered with as the either the scouting service or the minor league system for those two leagues, XFL, USFL. So we definitely will have to try to do our best to get you in the Indoor Football League and to get you a Hub Camp invite, you know, for the XFL and the USFL opportunities. So that's how the prove-it system works. And that's for you guys that's NCAA, well, if you're just based in the NFL draft class 2023, it doesn't matter whether you're NAIA, USCAA, NCCCAA, it doesn't matter about all that stuff. NCAA, whatever alphabet soup organization you play college ball at, I can help you if you don't have a verifiable draft grade. And again, if you got a verifiable draft grade through ESPN, I can put your name on high level agents' desk and see if they want to represent you, pay for your training and all this stuff, housing, meals and all that. I have the capability of putting you on the desk of people that can afford to do that with no problem. So with that being said, you know, that's that opportunity and everything like that. But we're going to go off into some music mix, and I'm going to go back out. I'm going to come back and close out the show. Stand by. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio. So this is your host, Romero Fran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. That's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 9:58 a.m., and it is 66 degrees sunny in San Diego, California. Today's topic was NFL. NFL Week 11 and Monday Night Football recap. The Niners clipped the wings of the Arizona Cardinals last night on Monday Night Football. We're about to close the show. I'm set black and fade off. We'll see all you guys tomorrow. God say the same. We want to basically just say that be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Pray for peace around the world. Pray for Brittany Griner. And make sure you take your flu vaccinations. Stay safe on monkeypox. And take your COVID-19 boosters. Want to say thank you for tuning in to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Set black. Fade off.